Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, we all know, we know this. We live in a society where we always want more. We want more followers. We want more likes. We want more money. We want everything more, more, more. But why? Why? Well, I don't bloody know, but author and neuroscientist Dr. Brian Penny is here to explain. Good morning, Dr. Brian Penny. How are you?
I'm great, Jan. Great to be back in the studio.
Great to have you back in. So why do we always want more stuff, Brian?
Well, you said it right there. It's more of everything. It's not just more materialistic stuff. It's more of everything. And it's really driven by, like everything in life, it's driven by our emotions. Mm. And it can be good emotions. It makes us feel good. But the more sinister side of it and the tendency to be more addicted to more stuff is around negative emotions. And really, it's primarily used like as a form of avoidance and escape. Yeah. We use this more things to avoid the present moment, to escape emotional pain, these negative emotions. But for some people, it's like a hole in their soul. And we talk about negative emotions like agitation, fear, dread, stuff like that. But for some people, it can be like trauma, lack of connection. And it's like a hole in their soul. They are chasing more stuff to fill that hole in their soul. But you can never fill that hole in your soul with more stuff. And there's a great metaphor I heard from a guy called Gabor Mate. He's an addiction and trauma expert. And he talks about it in terms of addiction like the hungry ghost. So the ghost is hungry and it's always seeking more stuff. Could be more drugs, more alcohol, more food, more things. But you are never going to satisfy the ghost with more stuff. You are never going to fill the hole and you are constantly chasing more. So it's both sides of the coin with emotions, but it's more the negative emotions that are driving this treadmill. You're on this hedonic treadmill, chasing, 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 but you will never fill that hole.
It's interesting because, I mean, you're talking about all different types of that activity from, you know, addiction. But I'm just thinking about shopping. And yeah. And how we can be so addicted to that and it makes us feel good in that instance, but it's never really satisfying long term, is it?
It's you've tapped into it right there. It's that instant gratification.
It's like, oh, I love this new shiny thing second.
And for us, it's like, even with a car, you get a new car and you love it, but you habituate to that. And the research shows that you habituate to those feelings. They're fleeting. They pass. They go very, very quickly. And that's the problem. It's that instant gratification and it doesn't last.
But it's inherent in, I would say, the majority of people.
Yeah, and I think the reason, like, we are emotional beings at the end of the day. Mm. And what's driving this, I think the more instant gratification taps into these positive emotions, so it gives us these good feelings. But then when we talk about negative emotions, it's a reward. It's the removal of the negative emotion is a reward in itself. So it's like a coping mechanism. So no wonder we call it retail therapy, emotional eating. Like, it's like we are numbing ourselves. We are numbing ourselves emotionally, and these emotions play a vital role.
So what are the solutions out there to help us change our ways?
The solutions are right. So it's really interesting. We need to get under the bonnet of this stuff. So basically, at the end of the day, our behaviors are driven by the triggers in our environment, internally and externally. So let's say you have loads of friends and you all love shopping together or you all love going to the pub, whatever your problem is, whatever the issue is for you. Well, if you spend a lot of time around those people, that external trigger is going to trigger that kind of behavior. But more of a problem, I believe, is this internal trigger. And again, it comes back to the problematic emotions, like whether it's stress, whether it's anxiety. And we really need to remove these internal triggers. Easier said than done, as we all know. So we haven't got like 10 hours to go through removing internal triggers. But what I would say, if you are feeling stressed or anxious and your tendency is to jump for impulse buying or impulse drinking, whatever that is, and what I would say is replace that problematic behavior with a progressive routine. Go for a run, meditate, ring up a friend, go for the coffee, chat to people. So replace the bad impulsive habits with good positive routines, and that can be a really powerful way to change your behavior. But I think the most important thing, and we're talking about materialistic stuff, buying things, yeah, it's like when we think of that in terms of values, in the research it shows that these are junk values. And what a junk value means, that it's not connected to anything that's deeply important or meaningful in any way, like likes on social media, spending time on social media, more clothes, new car. It's not deeply are intrinsically connected to anything. So we need to be aware of our values. And instead of sort of chasing these junk values that give us this instant gratification, what we need to know is what is important to us. What are our true values? And it aligns with our authentic selves. So what do we value? Is it connection? Is it family? Is it your mental health, your physical health, your career? What is driving you? What really lights that fire in your belly? What is your values? And then making the decisions that are aligned with that is absolutely critical.
So if I try and get rich, I'll never be happy. Is it that simple?
I think it is that simple. If the goal is trying to get rich, because that's really, it's ego orientated. Like, why are you trying to get rich? Are you afraid of being poor? So fear is driving that. And it's where the emotions really come into play all the time. So if fear is driving that and you're chasing money for the sake of money, to build that's going to be a problem. But if you are looking for financial freedom, well, freedom is it's a core value of mine. We all want freedom. So it depends on what's the emotions driving the chasing behavior. Are you trying to fill a hole, or are you doing something that's a lot more deeply connected to something? And there's something in that as well, is like my own research. I've looked deeply into this. A big part of my PhD research looked into this as well. And it's like these negative and positive emotions drive this. But what we found in a result of this research is that self-awareness, and whether you're chasing more of anything, whether it's more alcohol, more materialistic stuff, that building self-awareness and being aware of the triggers internally, externally, aware of your values and acting with awareness, that's the catalyst for change. So that is really, building some self-awareness into your life is really, really critical.
And just consistently asking yourself questions. Why am I saying yes to that job? Is that ego driven, or is it going to bring more balance to my life? Why am I doing this? Why am I buying that garment of clothing? All it. So we should be questioning ourselves a lot more, would you say?
Yeah, and you've nailed it there, Jen, really. Like, why? Why am I doing this? Like, you could say this. I love this. Why? I love Christmas. It lights me up. Why do you love Christmas? And it could be that you have crazy materialistic tendencies and you love just buying loads of stuff. But maybe you love Christmas because you like buying stuff for other people. Why? Because you like making other people happy. Why? Because you're connected to your family and you want to share and cheer them up. So the why brings you in different directions. Yeah. So really tapping into that is key.
You said something to me the last time you were on, and I've missed out on a load of TV gigs because of it.
Sorry.
No, in a really good thing. And not just TV gigs. You said to me, Jen, if it's not a hell yes. Ooh. Do you remember that?
I love it, yeah.
You said, if it's not a hell yes, why would you do it? And I was like, yeah, Jesus, if it's... And then I was asked to do a couple of things and I was like, oh God, I'm doing it because I would be chasing the money, or it would be ego driven.
Yeah.
And if I don't say, hell yeah, I want to do that, yes, absolutely, I really question why I'm doing it, or should I do it? So thank you for that, because I think that's
no problem.
That's a great tool. It's a great tool.
It's so simple.
It's so simple.
The best tools, because we're so busy. We're in this busy world and everything is coming at us 100 miles an hour. So when you have these simple little tools, they just help you in the moment to really reframe that.
You're a brain scientist. So do you trust your brain?
No.
Okay.
Hell no. That's a hell no. And again, it taps in. I trust parts of my brain. So let's just start to reframe that,
okay.
Right? So the limbic brain, the reptilian brain, the older part of the brain, this doesn't really have language and it's based on feelings and it wants to avoid pain and feel good. So good emotions, let's chase the carrot, let's chase the good things, let's chase the car, chase the clothes, it makes us feel good. And it hasn't got the cognitive abilities, it's not cognitive, it's not linguistic, it hasn't got the ability to be able to differentiate what's actually really good for us. So that will avoid pain, avoid the stick and chase the carrot, that limbic part of our brain. And it's really powerful, it's around self-preservation and the evolutionary part of our brains.
Okay.
But we live with smartphones, we live in cities, we live with millions of people now. It's very, very different world. So the more neocortex, the newer part of our brain is more aware of this. And I think this really taps into this idea of make values-based decisions over feelings-based decisions. The feeling part of the brain wants to stay in bed, eat junk food and buy new clothes. It's dangerous. So we need to be aware of what we value, what's important to us. And is it hell yeah? Like, is it hell yeah in terms of our values? That's a great little connector on those points too.
I love that. And would you say, as a brain scientist, like your gut, if people say listen to your gut more, is there value in that saying? Is that worth, you know, repeating to yourself?
100%. So, and I think as someone that talks about psychology, they often hear of don't be listening to your feelings. And it's like, don't be listening to those dangerous feelings that are driven from the older part of the brain. But your gut, your intuition is something different. It's like an inner voice, a knowing, where you just sort of know. Mm-hmm. And I think it's heart-based. Like, we talk about the brain, the gut and the heart all being connected. So it's like the gut, like there's neurotransmitters. I think 80% of, something like 80% of serotonin, the feel-good neurotransmitter in the brain is created in the gut. So we have this gut intuitive feeling. So follow them. But the problem is that if you're out there chasing carrots all over the place, you're impulse buying, you're drinking, you have a lot of problematic behaviours, you're cut off from them feelings, you're cut off from that inner knowing. So you need to slow down in order to speed up in terms of life, for want of a better word. Like, it's listening to that intuition is crucial.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Dr. Brian Penny, thank you so much for coming in again. So what's happening for you? What's on the cards for you? Always doing something new.
Always doing something. Do you know what? I last year, I'd done a lot of online courses and I haven't done any this year. I'm sort of stepping away from them to a certain extent, but I'm super excited about a new course that I'm doing at the moment. And it's based on everything I've learned, all of the best tools, my neuroscience research, my PhD, my corporate work, and the one-to-one. I do one-to-one executive coaching as well.
That's right.
So I've taken all of that together and I've created this program that I'm delivering. It's going to be online as well, but it's different. It's unlike anything I've ever done before. It's about optimizing your life, getting in touch with your emotions and navigating your life. All them kinds of tools to help you to navigate life. And it's based on science, it's based on neuroscience, all of that stuff. But it's unlike anything I've ever done because it's going to be interactive with people. So it's not like me lecturing on screen. It's going to be interactive. We'll be chatting with each other. It's a small group that are going to try to create a little community with a small group as well, and it includes personalised one-to-ones as well. So I'm looking really to go deeper with people, with smaller groups and that as well. So that starts on May 17th, just over 2 weeks from now.
And if people want to register for that, how do they do that?
Yeah, I'd say the best place to go would be maybe Instagram. So I gave away my age last time you put me onto that, Jen. So it's BrianPenny78 is my Instagram handle, but you can get me on my website. It's just BrianPenny.com, P-E-N-N-I-E, or else email me at Brian@BrianPenny.com. I could even set up a little quick call to see if it's a fit, because we're trying to make sure that it's good for them, because it's going to be a deep dive into this kind of stuff.
Amazing stuff. At BrianPenny78 is the Instagram. All the details are on there as well. Thank you, Doctor, for coming in, and we'll chat to you soon.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.